You're listening to Simon Scriver's Amazingly Ultimate Fundraising Superstar podcast, talking all things fundraising, charities, nonprofits, and more. Here's your host, as always, Simon Scriver.
His viciousness was perhaps not innate. From his earliest steps among men, he had felt, then seen himself the object of jeers, condemnation, rejection. Human speech for him always meant mockery and curses. As he grew older, he had found nothing but hatred around him. He had caught it. He had acquired the general viciousness. He had picked up the weapon with which he had been wounded. That's a quote from the book Hunchback of Notre Dame by Victor Hugo. And I'm sure Victor Hugo could not imagine the drama of this month when he wrote that story about another young woman driven to destruction by a bunch of horny guys who thought they were entitled to her body before murdering her. But that's not what we're talking about today. What we're talking about is the fire in Notre Dame Cathedral. Yes, on 15th of April, 2019, Notre Dame burned. It was a pretty big fire, but not, you know, didn't destroy the whole thing, destroyed parts of it. We don't know how it started, but we have to assume it was probably one of the workmen smoking a quick jaya before clocking off. Or, you know, I imagine there's some good views up there. Anyway, what we do know from a fundraising point of view, because this is a fundraising podcast, we know that a bunch of people quickly promised to throw lots of money at it and fund the rebuilding of this. And it all kind of sparked a debate amongst fundraisers and the public in general. But I saw a lot of fundraisers on my Twitter timeline, a lot of friends writing blog posts and talking about it. Just their opinion about all these rich people, especially who suddenly had hundreds of millions of euros to go into the funding of this. And we saw conversations around this idea of people versus buildings and this idea of taxation and all different angles around it. But basically, to sum up, people asked, are these rich donors, are they bastards or not? You know, should we be criticizing them? Should we be mocking them? Are they completely out of touch with reality for wanting to donate to something like this and making a decision so quickly when there's so many other causes in need? And obviously, it's very complicated. It's much more complicated than just asking, are these rich donors bastards or not? It's obviously pretty nuanced. And so I wanted to look at a few angles in here and I suppose acknowledge that actually there's a bunch of micro arguments in there. And what I saw online was, I suppose, people arguing maybe two different points and unable to come to a resolution because they're arguing two things which are, you know, not contradictory, but, you know, I suppose you can believe two different things on here. Because the criticism, as far as I could see, it was criticism for two different things. It was a criticism for how they donated, you know, and where this money was going to. And then there was a criticism for them having this money. And so I think it's worth kind of splitting that out and actually thinking about those maybe a little bit more separately. One of the first things to address, I think, is the recurring theme and even the title of this podcast, this idea of people versus buildings. And we saw people coming out, you know, asking, why are people donating to a building when really, you know, all this money, there's so many people with need that, you know, I saw someone claiming that we could cure Alzheimer's with this money, which is unlikely. But also that, yeah, that there's so many people starving, so many people who are homeless, and actually it was much easier to raise money much quicker and much easier to motivate and move people to give to something which was not these people. I think, you know, there's criticism about donating to a cathedral and a church and a religious icon when, you know, and I've said it myself in the past, that the Catholic Church has so much money. Why aren't they maybe funding this entirely? And, you know, I'm saying that as someone who was raised as a Catholic. I am obviously now the lost property of Jesus. I have fallen and I'm going to hell. But yeah, I mean, it's still a question to ask. Doesn't the Catholic Church have lots of money, aren't they, sitting on their golden thrones and with their gold donation boxes? And the overall gist of it was, aren't there more important causes than this? Aren't there better places to donate? So why are these rich people giving to a building? And I think, you know, my thoughts on it are, you know, why do we give to anything is because we want to. Because we want to. Because we want to. Who sings that? Is that Spice Girls? No. No, it's someone terrible. It's each to their own. You know, there's what people want to give to, people are entitled to give to, and they shouldn't be criticized, and they shouldn't be, that gift shouldn't be undermined, because donating is, you know, one of the greatest things you can do. It's a beautiful, beautiful action, and it should be applauded. And the reality is there's a whole bunch of causes I don't care about, you know, or there's at least a ranking system in our causes. I would much rather donate to, you know, a charity that benefits a human rather than an animal. Not that I have anything against animals. I love animals, and I have given to animal charities before, but they're not a priority for me. A building would not be a priority for me. I've never understood, or I've never gotten behind alumni giving to a university, because I hated university. And because it just seems like such a stupid thing to give to. Although, having said that, I remember a fundraiser, Adrian Salmon, changing my mind a little bit on this. And his point was about scholarships and grants and donating to that, because, you know, you can give to help someone who has cancer, you can give to cure cancer, or you can give to a university and allow someone to go and study and work in this university, who is maybe the person who's going to discover the cure for cancer. And they, you know, they have this intelligence in them, and we unlock it by donating to universities. So again, I see the benefit for all these things. And if someone wants to give to university, if someone wants to install a swimming pool in the college, if someone wants to give to a cathedral, you know, if someone wants to give to insects, if someone wants to give to some stupid animal, then that's still wonderful. It's still beautiful. It's still a great thing. And so in no way should we be criticizing that act of giving. And in no way should we as a sector be competing. You know, in no way as a sector we should we be competing. You know, so it's not arts charities versus religious charities versus human charities versus animal charities. Because there's good things in all of those. There's good things to come out of all of those. I mean, am I going to donate to the Notre Dame Cathedral? No, I am not. I am not going to donate to that, because there's places I'd much rather put my money. But I see the beauty of it. I have gone to see Notre Dame. I didn't go in because the queues were so big. But it looked nice from the outside, and I've seen photos of the inside online. But it's an amazing place. It's good for tourism. It's good for the soul. And I'm reminded of that Churchill quote, you know, Winston Churchill, whatever you think of him, when someone said, you know, shouldn't we cut arts funding and spend it bombing the Nazis instead? And he said something like, you know, if we cut arts funding, then what are we even fighting for? Because art is a beautiful thing, good for everyone, not just for the rich, not just for the elite. Art and beauty and beautiful buildings and cathedrals and churches and religious places, they are for everyone. And so that's a good thing. But, you know, why do we even have to justify this? Because these causes should not be competing. You know, we certainly shouldn't be competing out loud, because that's not good for the sector. Even if you think it, even if you're ranking these in your head, you should not be giving them. I do not believe in any fundraising campaigns where we criticize one charity and say you should be giving here instead of another. And we've seen people dabble in those a few times over the years. And I don't believe they work very well. Or maybe they can work short term. But what we're trying to do as a sector, as good fundraisers, ethically, but also, you know, pragmatically, is we're trying to inspire giving. Yeah, we're trying to inspire people to give more to anything, to all things. And again, this phrase, I mentioned it in my last podcast, a rising tide lifts all boats, if that's the phrase. You know, the level of giving in the United States has been 2% of GDP forever, for as long as, you know, it's been recorded. And what we're trying to do is nudge that up. You know, we're trying to make people more philanthropic, make them spend less money on stupid shit and more on good stuff. And so I don't believe that we're going to do that by cannibalizing each other. We need to do that by inspire giving. Having said that, let me get back on the fence. No, it's not back on the fence. We do not criticize, we do not compete, but we can mock rich people. We can relish in the beauty of criticizing the elite and the rich people and anyone who has 100 million euros to give at the spur of the moment. You can punch up. I absolutely believe that any of these people who are getting headlines, who have this level of money, we can ridicule them for whatever the hell we want to ridicule them. Whatever. It's fun. But let's try not to do it, you know, in seriousness. Let's not try to, you know, I saw someone talking about bullying, which I think is, you know, maybe a bit of a stretch in this circumstance. But let's maybe try to keep our ridicule, you know, away from bullying, away from this, you know, criticism of the giving to more of a, you know, these guys are a bit of a joke. In terms of how we should be criticizing them, you know, we're punching up and ridiculing, but there's other things we need to consider. I mean, if we look at these people that are making the headlines, we're talking about, let me look at this list, the Arnold family donating 200 million, Betancourt family and L'Oreal donating 200 million, Pinault family, Total SA donating 100 million. This is a company. That's like an oil company or a petroleum company, I believe. BNP Paribas is a bank. The Deco family and AXA donating 10 million. You know, the question is, why have these got so much money? How can they afford? How do they have so much money that they can afford to donate 100 million, 200 million on a whim? Yeah. So these are people who are watching YouTube or watching the news with their ugly kids, you know, sitting on their stupid couch and eating their stupid rich person food. And just like that, they're so moved by this story in the same way that we are all moved to donate 5 euro, 10 euro, even 100 euro. But they can make this decision very quickly to donate that level of money. How and why have we allowed people and companies to have that level of money? A fucking petroleum company who is hemorrhaging our planet and just doing all sorts of shit. A bank who is, you know, in the actions of European banks in terms of driving people out of their homes, in terms of creating this homelessness problem that we have around Europe. How are we allowing these people to have this level of profit that they can just make these decisions? Yeah. The tax system is broken. And you know, in France, they're talking about that these donations are entitled to a 60% tax relief. And slow clap for some of these rich people, they're not going to take this tax relief. So honorable. But at the same time, some of them are. And I imagine even some of the ones who would like to think they're not going to take this tax relief, you know, when that emotion wears off a bit, and in a year's time when they come to do their taxes, there's going to be some who flip and do take that tax relief. And then you have people like this elite asshole politician, Jean-Jacques Aigon, excuse the pronunciation, and he's suggesting these wealthy people, because they're so fucking generous, should get 90% tax relief. This is ridiculous. For a start, I don't believe there should be any of this tax relief on donations. And that's a controversial phrase from a fundraiser. And as a professional fundraiser, I should be for tax relief on donations, because it encourages more giving, it encourages higher level of giving. But in terms of creating the world that we want to create, there should not be tax relief from donations. The whole point is that this money that's brought in through tax is for the social good. Yeah. So it's for the social good in the same way donations are for the social good, but it's not on the whim of some rich asshole who has, you know, an elite point of view, who is not looking at the greater good for everyone, but is completely skewed in their opinion of what they give to. Yeah. So overall, with these levels of money, these people should not have this amount of money. The tax system is broken if you have that amount of money to go on a whim. Now, capitalists will argue, and I mean, I don't want to come across too much sounding like a communist by talking like this, but you know, people who have fully bought into the capitalist system and believe this is the best way, they will argue that, you know, people need to be able to earn these levels of money and need to be earning a limitless amount of money because it incentivizes entrepreneurs, it incentivizes hard work. And whether you think that's bullshit or not, which it clearly is to a certain extent, tell me that someone earning 99 million euros a year is going to be less motivated than someone earning 100 million euros a year. Yeah, that motivation thing works when you're talking about an annual income of 40 grand, 50 grand, even up to 100 grand, 200 grand maybe. But when you're getting into the millions, no, it doesn't incentivize you at that level. And so there needs to be this maximum wage, this cap on what you can bring in. And so you don't even have to think about philanthropy and donating. Let's take that off your plate. We will tax the shit out of you, and then we will spend it on the good of the people and the country and the world. Yeah. And when I talk about things like this on Twitter, if I start to get vocal, you know, usually you get a few billionaire defenders. So people who earn, you know, average wages and like to defend the capitalist system and like to defend billionaires because, I mean, I guess because they think one day they might be a billionaire or they, you know, we're just so programmed growing up in a capitalist society that we can't imagine another way. And I remember someone saying to me before that there was no alternative to capitalism, that it had all failed, and how could we ever get into something where there was a maximum wage or even where there's no money or something like that. And this was from an Englishman who lives in a monarchy. Yeah. And if you tried to describe a monarchy to someone and suggested they lived under it, no one would agree to it. And yet we have millions and millions of people living under a monarchy. Anyway, so when I start to talk about this, some people ask me questions like, and someone did ask me a question, what should people be allowed to earn? Yeah, and people sometimes get very defensive about this. What should be the maximum wage? And truthfully, I have no fucking idea. But what I would say is, let's start at something like, I don't know, 100 million euros a year. 200 million euros a year. Let's start at some ridiculously high amount and let's see how that goes. Yeah. Let's see if the 0.1% of people or 0.01% of people who earn this, if it totally damages the country because they fuck off to Bermuda, as some, you know, rich philanthropists like to do, or they just pay it. Let's see if they get so demotivated that the whole system starts to crumble because they're not working as hard anymore. Let's just try it. Let's try, you know, taxing the shit out of anyone who earns more than 100 million euros a year. And then, you know, if that doesn't work so well, let's change it. If it works really well, let's bring that cap even down. And then someone else asked me who should decide what this limit is. And I don't know. I'm going to say maybe me. Or maybe the people, and maybe like some real politicians, if we elected some real politicians instead of electing people who are, you know, in the pocket of billionaires or who are pushing that billionaire status anyway, the wealthy. Let's stop electing the wealthy. And let's see if maybe then we can tackle this level of inequality, because everything wrong in the world is due to inequality. Yeah, it's due to an inequality between men and women, an inequality between white people and people of color, an inequality depending on where you live, an inequality in terms of the elite system. Excuse me. Okay. Oh, I'm going to sneeze. Oh, God. Bless us and save us. said old Mrs. Davis. I never knew herrings were fish. Inequality is the problem of everything. And the thing about inequality is it's hereditary. It gets passed down from generation to generation, because when you're rich, it's easy to stay rich. When you're poor, it's hard to get out of poorness, because a lot of these people and companies who are wealthy, it is handed down. Most of it is handed down, and then they build upon that. So we need to just absolutely put an end to that, and we need to tax the shit out of this. So yes, in summary, well done for donating. It's a beautiful thing. Slow clap to anyone who donated, any of the rich people who donated to this cause and all the other causes, and well done. But also, let's slap an obscene tax on anyone who earns a lot. Let's tackle tax evasion and the wealthy philanthropists who register in Bermuda or the Cayman Islands or wherever you register. Let's aggressively attack this. Yeah, we'll risk losing a few companies and billionaires to other countries in the short term. But if we really want to tackle the world's problems, philanthropy is great. And in the short term, it helps a lot of people and it's going to address a lot of problems. But in the long term, let's tax the shit out of these people. Yeah. But well done on donating to a cathedral. It's a beautiful cathedral. I hope it stays a beautiful cathedral. Let's see how it evolves in this next step. I mean, it's been evolving over the years as bits fall apart and as people put their own mark on it. It will continue to do so, thanks to the French government and all these wealthy people. So thank you. That's beautiful. All these other positive causes are also beautiful. Consider donating to them. Don't compete, but consider donating to them. And then consider paying your taxes and not evading taxes, and consider campaigning for higher taxes, because this is how we're going to address the problem. This is how we're going to get rid of the inequality, which causes every single problem that you take issue with, every single problem. And then let's make a better world together by people paying their fair share, but even paying beyond their fair share, because nobody needs to be earning more than 100 million euros a year. And that's all for this podcast. Would love to hear what you think.
You've been listening to Simon Scriver's Amazingly Ultimate Fundraising Superstar Podcast. Don't forget to subscribe and head over to changefundraising.com to learn more or get in touch with Simon. Or don't. Whatever. You're big enough to make your own decisions.
Hello, this is Morgan Freeman. For discounts on Simon's best-selling online fundraising courses, go to www.changefundraising.com/training and use coupon code podcast. Complete them in your own time, wherever you want. Get busy living or get busy buying.